All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, January 14th, 2016. And this says, before the first cup of jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everybody. We are almost there. One more day to go. It is 23 degrees and mostly cloudy here in upstate New York. Good thing we didn't get any snow. I called my family in Buffalo yesterday. And my mother said, oh, yeah, we got already 2 feet over the last 24 hours, and they're predicting another foot or two. So a big thumbs up to the lake effect machine. I'm glad it's staying over there and not over here. So where did we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Gene Editing, GMO Sapien, and Petri Dish Procreation. I thought that was a pretty good title for the show. We've been looking at some pretty crazy stuff. Mad science gone mad. Reproduction going to be taken away from the individual at some point in the future. And you know, we had always said that, but sure looks like it's possible now. They created human fallopian tubes in the lab that, of course, they are working on to figure out how to cure ovarian cancer and things of that nature. But please don't tell me that they're not going to be playing with embryos and trying to figure out exactly how it all works, so eventually you won't have to biologically procreate. They'll be able to just have you punch up an order, and we read that in the one story. I actually have that queued back up again because we 2 days working on that story about you're only human, but your kids could be so much more, and we still didn't make it through. But they were literally saying that it'll be like a pizza menu in the future. Pizza menu kid, like getting onions and green olives on your pizza. You can order traits with the push of a button and then have them create the kid. Like, hey honey, I ordered the kid today. So, we ended the show looking at a story that came out of the MIT Technology Review, and this is kind of where we're going to kick it off, because I have a couple things that wanted to talk about, too, in regards to this. I mentioned this a whole bunch of times, a homework assignment that came home back in November, I think it was, before Christmas. It's been sitting out here waiting for me to talk about it, where they're actually running this stuff in the schools past the kids to see what the reactions are going to be. So, like, well, let's get back here. So the story out of MIT Technology Review, we had read about some of these human animal chimeras before. They had been working on them in a lab in the UK already back quite a number of years ago. And I'm looking to see, here it is. When I first started doing radio, I covered this story, and I don't think people believed me, but it's still out there, and now there's way more going on, and I already knew, you know, I thought they had said 300, was 150 human-animal hybrids grown in the UK labs that they discovered, but, you know, those are the only ones that we know about, like I said, and as we have China now with their big clone GMO creature factory that they're getting ready to launch, you know, where that dude wants to produce 100,000 cows to begin with, up to 1 million a year. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, we're all ready for humans, too. They just got to give us the green light. And once people get used to it and don't freak out over the idea, well, I'm good to go. You know, and they even said that also in the MIT Technology Review article that the technology is there. We've looked at CRISPR many times, and there's an update on CRISPR going on, too. I guess that is up in front of the patent courts. We had seen an interview with that Jennifer Doudna, the woman who, quote unquote, created the CRISPR technology. And she had mentioned that there are some disagreements about who created the technology. And of course, she's all about the science. But yes, CRISPR technology is so revolutionary and will so change the future of planet Earth that it's going to be worth so much money that they probably should get that settled. I mean, I don't know if I would want to be the one taking responsibility for coming up with the technology that's going to completely change the entire future of this planet. And it is, because the technology is not being constrained. They had a couple global meetings about it, and they're like, no, it's all right, especially if you're going to cure cancer. We'll let you splice and dice shit together all day long. Just don't make a baby. But you know they're going to do it. All right, anyway, let's start in this story. When I first started doing radio, this is July 22nd, 2011, and this is right about then. 150 human-animal hybrids grown in the UK labs. Embryos have been produced secretively, there you go, for the last 3 years. So that was since 2008. At least we know that they've been doing human-animal and hybrids per this article. I'm sure it's way longer than that. At least 2008 that's been admitted. Scientists have created more than 150 human-animal hybrid embryos in British laboratories. Now remember, too, when we first started looking at that Chinese clone factory back a few months ago, we discovered that he was the dude that was splicing and dicing the human milk gene into the cows. So they genetically modified the cows, they spliced the milk gene in, and then they cloned them. Remember? So it was like GMO clone cows. And then had like their best clones birth these GMO creatures. And I still do not have any type of confirmation as to whether or not that milk has made it into the food supply. They were like all excited about it when it first happened. They're like, oh, it's better than baby formula. It'll actually be human milk for the newborn babies. And I think it was in response to the scandal in China where they had all that poisoned baby formula. And we talked about that a few times as well. The guys actually that ran that company got executed over that, which they do that in China. You have corporate greed, or they've proven that you've done some sort of criminal act that's affected a lot of people. They just execute you. Anyway, back to the story. The hybrids have been produced secretly over the past 3 years by researchers looking into possible cures for a wide range of diseases. The revelation comes just days after a committee of scientists warned of a nightmare Planet of the Apes scenario, in which, and you know what? I'm even worried more. I think it's more than Planet of the Apes. What were we hearing about yesterday? Like Planet of the Intelligent Sheep, the Talking Sheep. I mean, this could get really freaky really fast. Scientists have warned of a nightmare Planet of the Apes scenario in which work on human-animal creations goes too far. Last night, a campaigner against the excess of medical research said he was disgusted that scientists were, quote, dabbling in the grotesque. And yeah, this has crossed a line. We have literally crossed a line of no return. And if we don't reel this back, this world, I mean, not only is it going to change what is happening to our genes, and don't think it isn't already happening with the garbage in our food and our environment and our water and whatever. I mean, we know now that what we put into our body is what we become. You are what you eat, remember, like they told us on the public service announcements on Saturday morning. I think I even played that time for timer clip once. But I mean, you literally are what you eat, what you breathe, what you drink. So we've already been mutated to some extent over our ancestors. But with where we are right now, they are literally putting the pedal to the metal. And they're going to be able to go in, splice and dice, cut out. We were reading yesterday, if there is some inherited disease in your family, and of course you determine that before birth, you just put them in a little petri dish and snip, nip, nip, and fix it all up. So nowhere else down your lineage will that disease occur. I mean, we are playing gods. And so as generations from this time forward progress, we will no longer be the same humans we once were. And now let's add to that any of these new features like a pizza menu that we can add, you know, super smartness or fast runningness or artistic ability, or like I always joke, a set of wings. Why not? It'll never be the same. But even worse than that, so we got this moratorium, at least in public, on being able to genetically modify humans for now, but they don't have one on animals. And they already were talking about in the pigs that we ended up the story with yesterday, where they're taking human stem cells and mixing them in the pig stem cells and then growing the pigs without organs like a heart or blood vessels. I think they mentioned one, or even a skeleton they mentioned in another. And they're using then the person's stem cells to grow these items, or I think they're genetically modifying the pig. So when the pig is then being raised, they insert the human genes for the heart or for the bones or for the blood vessels. So then when that pig is growing, it's actually growing a human organ or a human body part inside of it. I mean, it's just beyond horrifying. And then, like, let's even take it one step further. The ethics at the end of this, we've determined a long time ago, and I know I did when I was a child, and used to get so angry when I'd hear scientists say, well, animals don't have feelings. Yes, they do. And animals have personalities, and they have languages that they can talk. I mean, anyone who's spent any time with an animal or has had a close pet absolutely knows that. Or hangs out in the woods. They absolutely know that. So, you know, you have this pig that's being raised with genes from a human for the express purpose of chopping its heart out that we put in there, we grew some mutant heart, and put it into somebody else. I mean, what gives you the right to life more than that pig that they bred just for the purpose of fixing you? I think I would be way better over this whole situation if they just continued to grow them in petri dishes, or if they grew them inside the person themselves. I remember seeing a while back, maybe a couple years back now, when they first started messing with regrowing body parts, and one of them happened to be the ear, the outside part of the ear. But they, again, were using the scaffold, and they used some stem cells, and they got the ear to grow, and it looked just like an ear, but they actually grew it on the dude's forehead. Remember that? Which I thought was kind of a dumb place to grow it. I would have been growing it like on my calf or something where people wouldn't have seen it. But they were growing it on his forehead. And this grew. I mean, it looked like a real ear. And I'm assuming that eventually they probably cut it off and attached it to where it was supposed to attach. But just really bizarre. Like, why wouldn't we grow our own body parts? Why do we need to use some sort of animal host? I mean, I worry about diseases that some of these other animals have. We've looked at now, you know, in looking at pandemics, quote unquote pandemics that they say happened that really never did, man-made pandemics. But we're finding that there's quite a number of diseases that, oh, what, they start in animals and then they mutate and then they start spreading between humans, and hence we have a quote-unquote pandemic. So for something like a heart or a kidney or a liver, man, I don't want it grown inside of a pig. If you want to know my honest opinion, I'd rather be growing that. Like, why can't you just attach it somewhere inside where we got some empty space? I know there's probably not a lot of empty space in there, but or why not grow it in some sort of bio bag that mimics a human body? I mean, we got a body on a chip from DARPA already. I don't know. I really think that a lot of this is just in the name of man science to be a lunatic. They're not thinking about this from the perspective of how horrifying all of this is. I don't see any empathy here at all. It says figures seen in the Daily Mail show that 155 mixed embryos contain both human and animal genetic material have been created since the introduction of the 2008, the 2008 Human Fertilization Embryology Act. This legalized. So this must be in England, I wonder. I don't know. We're going to have to look that up. 2008 Human Fertilization Embryology Act. This legalized the creation of a variety of hybrids, including an animal egg fertilized by a human sperm, as well as cybrids, in which a human nucleus is implanted into an animal cell, and chimeras, in which human cells are mixed with animal embryos. Oh my God. Scientists say that the techniques can be used to develop embryonic stem cells, which then can be used to treat a wide range of incurable diseases. Three labs in the UK at King's College London Newcastle University and Warwick University were granted licenses to carry out the research after the act came into force. So, yeah, that must be a law in England. All have now stopped creating human embryos due to a lack of funding. And we know that that's not true. Maybe in England, but not in China. And apparently not in the United States either. The figure was revealed to crossbench peer Lord Elton during a parliamentary question. Last night he said, I argued in Parliament against the creation of human-animal hybrids as a matter of principle. Well, thanks there, Lord Elton, because I would agree with you. None of the scientists who appeared before us could give us any justification in terms of treatment. Ethically, it can never be justifiable. It discredits us as a country and is dabbling in the grotesque. My thoughts exactly. I mean, this is beyond. Humans cannot mate with pigs. Some might try in some weird places, but it just can't happen. Birds cannot mate with frogs. It is unnatural. There's a reason for that. There is a reason that we do not have the Isle of Dr. Moreau. We might have a couple kickbacks there somewhere with the platypus and the, oh, I was going to say the aardvark, but yeah, they're kind of weird too, but the little ones with the shells that run around in Texas, I don't remember what they're called, but you know, there's a couple weird, freaky creatures here on the planet that look like they may have had some weird genetic modification at some point long, long time ago. But it typically is not the Isle of Dr. Moreau here. And that is not the process or order of things. There are different kingdoms and phyla for a reason. We all have our certain traits and DNA. And remember the DARPA lady said that their eventual goal is to be able to push a button and create life with all the traits that they want on a whim. And it gets even scarier because it's not even just taking a pig and a human embryo, mixing them in a petri dish and making some sort of chimera, or some people call it chimera. It's a chimera to me. It gets even worse than that because they are taking our DNA and creating these synthetic organisms that they're using in all kinds of things. And, medicine, pharma, the Department of Energy for cleaning up oil spills, who the hell knows? But they're making these synthetically modified organisms with synthetic DNA that are literally like alien life. They're nothing that we've ever seen or known before on Earth. And they've also come up with, remember those two new proteins, X and Y, synthetic proteins that they're going to replicate within the DNA. So instead of having four proteins, amino acids, CATG, they're not going to have CATG, X, and Y. Never, ever, ever has there ever been a creature on this planet ever, ever with six amino acids. Okay, everything is made up of CATG that has DNA. At least as far as I know. I don't know if I'm wrong. Someone pointed out to me, but I took quite a bit of biology in my younger years, and I don't remember there being in anything other than C, A, T, and G. All right, back to this. So the end result of that is it's even worse than the Isle of Dr. Moreau. It's like mutant alien life forms that they could start creating here on a whim. Super soldiers. You know, we always read about that, and that's a real program, you know. DARPA's got a real program. The super soldier program typically has to do a lot of the brain chemicals, like we were talking about a few days ago with the dopamine and being able to use those deep brain stimulation, push of a button and release some dopamine or adrenaline or whatever. I mean, they started that project working with the military. But how long is it going to be before, you know, they start creating Defense Department stock of human? You know, it's the one thing I was worrying about in China. When China announces that, you know, they're starting with 100,000 GMO or cloned cows, their clone factory, both GMO and clone cows, They're going to ramp it up to 1 million. And oh, by the way, all of the technology that we have today can also do the same thing with humans. That's all I kept thinking. I was like, wow, China could like pump out 1 million genetically modified soldiers. And, you know, they don't instant grow. And you probably need like a good 18 years to get them to age, unless they can find a way to flip a switch for rapid grow, which is very possible. But, you know, that's a fear of the future. They could produce humans that could run like 500 miles an hour with claws and teeth and infrared vision. I mean, there's no end to what they can do. It's beyond frightening. You know, you always tell your kid when they're little, there's no monsters. There's no such thing as monsters. Well, that's, I mean, there are such things as monsters as far as like some pretty sick, mentally ill people that would do things like eat other individuals or whatever. But there's really any, as far as I've seen, I mean, chupacabra, any of those things, Bigfoot, you know, those are all just legends. I don't know. Maybe there's some weird creatures out there. I hope I didn't like burst anybody's bubble, but maybe there's some weird mutated creature out there. I did see actually Chupacabra Pigmine had a video last year or the year before. I think it was down in South Texas. They caught this creature and the animal control had said that it was some sort of it was a raccoon with mange. But they had a close-up picture. The thing was alive. The woman had it in a little cage. She was feeding it in her backyard. That was no mangy raccoon. I can tell you that for certain. I've seen raccoons up close and personal. See the little babies come visit and stuff when we go camping. It definitely had like different feet, different face. It was able to use its fingers. And when animal control came, we found out the very next day. So the story came out and it was like, holy shit, is a chupacabra alive? And it sure didn't look like anything I'd ever seen. And the very next day, animal control came out and I see a news story. Animal control said it was suffering and so they put it to sleep. I mean, you would think there's some unidentifiable animal out there that somebody captures and there's been hundreds of years of sightings of these, you know, mythical creatures, you would think that somebody would want to research it, right? You would think that they would want to try to figure out what it was. No, they said that even though it didn't look like a raccoon at all, and it had hair, I've seen mange, typically your hair falls out in hunks. No, it had hair all over it, but it was suffering and in pain, so they put it down, and that was the end of the story. If you ever want to see it, just search Chupacabra and Pigmine. I bet you'll find that. I think that was on one of the older channels. Anyway, all right, let's get back to these crazy chimeras. So it makes me wonder if that quote-unquote mangy raccoon wasn't some sort of escaped experiment from down in the Southwest somewhere. You know, there's all kinds of sprinklings of crazy military labs down there. So who the hell knows? All right, anyway, at every stage of the justification from the scientists has been, if you only allow us to do this, we'll be able to find cures for every illness known to mankind. This is known as emotional blackmail. Of the 80 treatments and cures which have come about from stem cells, all have come from adult stem cells, not embryonic ones. And on moral and ethical grounds, this fails. And on scientific and medical grounds as well. And, you know, this is 2011. So this is before, I'm pretty sure, before they have discovered how to make stem cells out of your own skin cells. So it's not even a question anymore of ethics of using abortive fetal tissue for stem cell experiments or making treatments or anything. And they can make stem cells into just about anything they want now using just your own skin cells. All right. So the problem with many scientists is that they want to do things because they want to experiment. Ding, ding. That's what we've always said. And this is not a good enough rationale. Earlier this week, a group of leading scientists warned about a Planet of the Apes experiments, and they called for new rules to prevent lab tests being given human attributes, for example, by injecting human stem cells into the brains of primates. Oh. But the lead author of their report, Professor Robin Lovell Badge from the Medical Research Council, National Institute for Medical Research, sounded like a Monty Python fake name, said the scientists were not concerned about human-animal hybrid embryos because, by law, these all have to be destroyed within 14 days. And we heard yesterday at some scientific conference when we were reading that MIT article that they had presented a pig embryo that was like 6 months old. It was a pig-human embryo, well, whatever it was, some growing fetus. It's 6 months old, so maybe in England they have to destroy them within 14 days, but apparently in the United States they don't have to. This professor said that the reason for doing these experiments is to understand more about early human development and come up with ways to cure serious diseases. And as a scientist, I feel that there is a moral imperative to pursue this research. So he feels morally imperative to do the mad science gone mad in the name of curing all. And that's what it's all come down to. A lot of this mad science that's going crazy right now is all about going to keep you safe. It's going to cure what ails you. You're going to live forever. It is the poison apple. It is how they're selling this. But this is, don't think about you. Think about the ecosystem. Think about the future of planet Earth. The future generations that are going to be so fucked up now because of what we're doing right now. Don't have the hubris of gods. Don't be a narcissist like we've all been trained to be in the society. To just care about you. It's just, this disturbs me beyond belief. But yeah, so he feels that it is his moral imperative to mix human and animal embryos to see what happens. He says, as long as we have sufficient controls, as we do in this country, we should be proud of the research. Human-animal hybrids are also created in other countries. And yeah, here's the key part of that sentence. In other countries, many of which have little or no regulation. So I'm sure we have a couple labs in some back room where, you know, we're already doing stuff. I'm, you know, think about South Korea. I have no idea what South Korea's rules are, but we have all kinds of military bases there and money, and there's lots of high-tech companies. You know, it could be very easy to do something like this in another country where there are no rules and then, you know, transfer the information over here. All right. We read a story yesterday then, so this is kind of just to set the stage for this MIT story that we started at the end of the show titled Human-Animal Chimeras Are Gestating in U.S. Research Firms. A radical new approach to generating human organs is to grow them inside of pigs or sheep. Now, we did have the full go-ahead in this country until last September. In a reversal of earlier policy, the National Institute of Health announced that it would not support studies involving such animal-human chimeras until it had reviewed the scientific and social implications more closely. The agency said in a statement that it was worried about the chance that animals' cognitive state could be altered if they ended up with human brain cells. And yes, I guess that is what they affectionately called in the last article the planet ape scenario, when they become infected with human brain cells and then get smart and can talk and think and do all kinds of other things. Because then we got a problem, Clyde. It says the National Institute of Health's action, and remember, the National Institute of Health is involved in the back end with all this research, the Brain Project, the Genomics Project. They've even partnered with 23andMe, who, of course, is mentioned in this article later on. 23andMe, the CEO, is the wife, a co-founder of Google, Sergey Brin. 23andMe that also spun off now a new arm of their corporation. It's not just, you know, find out who you're related to, give us your DNA. It is find out who you're related to. Oh, and look, we see these issues with your DNA. And look, we have now created a DNA-targeted medication based upon your genetic information. Precision medicine. The National Institute of Health Action was triggered after it learned what scientists had begun such experiments with support from other funding sources. And we mentioned this yesterday. We've read a whole bunch of stories now how the world tech billionaires seem to be behind a lot of this transhumanist meshing of humans and technology that is happening right now. And it's all in the name of longevity. It's all in the name of curing death, curing aging, as Kurzweil would say. Be afraid, be very afraid. Bill Gates and friends are actually responsible for a lot of what is going on here. The human-animal mixtures are being created by injecting human stem cells into days-old animal embryos and then gestating these in female livestock. And based on interviews with three teams, two in California and one in Minnesota, MIT Technology Review estimates that about 20 pregnancies of pig-human or sheep-human chimeras have been established during the last 12 months in the U.S. And this story was just from a few days ago. Though so far no scientific paper describing the work has been published, and none of the animals were brought to term. Well, few. The extent of the research was disclosed in part during presentations made at the National Institute of Health's Maryland campus in November at the agency's request. One researcher, Juan Carlos Ipsusa Belmont of the Salk Institute, showed unpublished data on more than a dozen pig embryos that contain human cells. Another from the University of Minnesota provided photography. This is the one I was talking about, of a 62-day-old pig fetus. So it wasn't 6 months, it was 2 months, but 62, there was a six in there, 62-day-old pig fetus, in which the addition of human cells appears to have reversed a congenital eye defect. The experiments, and here we go, rely on a cutting-edge fusion of technologies, including recent breakthroughs in stem cell biology and gene editing techniques. By modifying genes, scientists can now easily change the DNA in pigs or sheep embryos so that they are genetically incapable of forming a specific tissue. And then by adding stem cells from a person, they hope that the human cells will take over the job of forming the missing organ, which could then be harvested from the animal for use in a transplant operation. And this is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Like, where are the ethics? Who says that me as a living creature has the right over another living creature that was designed in a lab to grow like a heart for me, and then they kill that animal to harvest that heart? I mean, that animal is a living, breathing creature. It'd be one thing if it was like some sort of, amniotic fluid tank where they were growing these things, you know, like you've seen in all your sci-fi movies where they got the bodies, the animal-human hybrids, like growing in the tanks down in the basement somewhere, floating. And then their eyes open when you get close to the glass. Yeah, just like that. I mean, why couldn't we do that? Artificial wombs, right? We're already doing that, developing that in the lab. Fallopian tubes. I find it hard to believe that we would have to literally use another living creature at this point in time and then sacrifice it. I mean, I know that they've been doing that for generations now with lab animals, but I've never been good with lab animals. And as a matter of fact, even when I was a little kid, I wasn't even good with meat. When I found out what meat was, I'm an animal lover. Animals love me. I just was horrified. I wouldn't eat meat for the longest time, except for hamburger, because there was no animal called a hamburger. And of course, the adults all laughed when I'd say that, but I didn't know why. They let me keep eating Bessie, too. They didn't burst my bubble. All right, anyway, back to the story. We can make an animal without a heart. And we have engineered pigs that lack skeletal muscles and blood vessels, says Daniel Gary, a cardiologist who leads the Chimera Project at the University of Minnesota. You know, actually, one of our hosts is in college up in Minnesota. One of my really, really, really good friends back from college, too, got his PhD at the University of Minnesota. I should find out if they got any contacts over there. Because I'd like someone to go take a wander around and talk to some of these scientists. I might have to send a couple emails today. Cardiologist who leads a project at the University of Minnesota. And while such while such pigs aren't viable, they can develop properly if a few cells are added from a normal pig embryo. Gary says that he has already melded two pigs in this way and recently won a $1.4 million grant from the U.S. Army. And this is where we ended it yesterday. Ding, ding. Which funds some of this biomedical research to try to grow human hearts within a swine. Because chimeras could provide a new supply of organs for needy patients and also lead to basic discoveries. Isn't that amazing? Because they're saying it leads to basic discoveries. That article we read out of the UK says, oh, it's going to cure human disease. Researchers, including Gary, say that they intend to press forward despite the National Institute of Health's position against it. In November, he was one of 11 authors who published a letter criticizing the agency for creating, quote, a threat to progress, unquote, that, quote, casts a shadow of negativity on their work. The worry is that the animals might turn out to be a little too human for comfort, say ending up with human reproductive cells, patches of people's hair, or just higher intelligence. Could you imagine? Like, they're already cloning, you know, dead Fido for $100,000 if you really want him back. But how about if they clone Fido and snip a couple little DNA segments and put like a human brain gene in there so Fido could be better? You know, the $6 million dog, we can improve him. Fido can be better and not only snuggle up next to you on the couch on a cold winter night watching a movie, but Fido could actually hold a conversation. Wow. Wouldn't that like do amazing things for all those people out there that are really lonely, introverted, and don't have friends? Now it really could be man's best friend. I don't know. You know, I'm just throwing that out there, but hey, if it's anything goes, man, and it's all about making money, I absolutely could see the dog with the human intelligence that could hold a conversation as being a profitable endeavor. You know, get Fido to talk. Screw artificial intelligence. Let's send him to doggy school. Teach him to count. Teach him the alphabet. Teach him to sing, too. All your favorites. All right. So apparently the scientist thinks that this is a threat to progress and it's going to cast negativity over our human-animal mixing experiments. Gee, what a party pooper that National Institute of Health is. The worry is that animals might turn out to be a little too human for comfort, say ending up with human reproductive cells, patches of people's hair, or just higher intelligence. We are not, well, thank goodness, we are not near the island of Dr. Moreau, he says, but science is moving fast. Well, no kidding. That's what I'm saying. It's time to stop the truck, Chuck. Says, the specter of an intelligent mouse stuck in a laboratory somewhere screaming, I want to get out, would be very troubling to people. Yes, it's kind of like the talking dog on the couch. Oh my God. The chance of an animal gaining human consciousness is probably slim. Yeah, probably. We're not quite sure. Their brains are just too different and even much smaller. But even so, as a precaution, researchers working with farm animal chimeras haven't yet permitted any to be born, but instead, except in China, by the way, but instead are collecting fetuses in order to gather preliminary information about how great the contribution of human cells is to the animals' bodies. Oh. Hiro Mitsuru Nakauchi, a stem cell biologist at Stanford University, began to make human sheep chimeras this year. So not only it's at Stanford and Minnesota, I'm sure there's lots of other places that we don't know about. I'm telling you, I think this is so way bigger than anything that we've read here every day. You know, I mean, the stuff that's coming out is the stuff they want us to know about. But I think, and we have at least 20 years of genetic modification we discovered in our food. They've been doing it now with medications and pharmaceuticals. It's all tied back, we found out, to the big oil and the Rockefellers and everything else. This, and then we got DARPA in the middle of all of this. And Google to boot. A little bit of Microsoft for good measure and some Facebook. And Ashton Kutcher, it seems. You know, somebody sent me something yesterday, I think it was, or a few days ago, I think it was Jane, about one of the companies that we talked about. Good morning, Jane. Thank you. And we had dug into some of these investors in these companies. And in this link that Jane sent, you could follow and see who invested. And Ashton Kutcher was listed. And I clicked on him to take a look at his profile. And apparently, Kutcher has he actually created his own venture capital firm. And he's been angel investing, another one of these very rich people. He's been angel investing in lots and lots and lots of this mad science gone man. And of course, knowing who his former, I think they got married, his former wife was, good old Demi Moore, who wants to live forever. You know, she was obsessed with staying young. I can see how he initially got into all of this. Anyway, Hiromitsu Nakauchi, stem cell biologist at Stanford University, began trying to make human sheep chimeras this year. And he says that so far the contribution by human cells to animals' bodies appears to be relatively small. If the extent of human cells is 0.5%, it is very unlikely to get thinking pigs or standing sheep, he says. But if it's large, like 40%, then we'll have to do something about that. Oh, my God. Other kinds of human-animal chimeras are already widely used in scientific research, including humanized mice endowed with a human immune system. Such animals are created by adding bits of liver and thymus from a human fetus collected after abortion to a mouse after it is born. A new line of research goes further because it involves placing human cells into an animal embryo at the very earliest stage when it is in a sphere of just a dozen cells in a laboratory dish. And this process is called embryo complementation. And it is significant because the human cells then can multiply, specialize, and potentially contribute to any part of the animal's body as it develops. Uh-oh. It's going to have human fingernails and shit. In 2010, while working in Japan, so here you go, apparently they've been doing this in Japan at least since 2010, another place where you have lots of military bases, Nakauchi used the embryo complementation method to show that he could generate mice with a pancreas made entirely of rat cells. And if it works as it does in rodents, he said, we should easily have a pig with a human organ. Although Nakauchi was a star scientist, Japanese regulators were slow to approve his idea for chimeras. A pigman, as critics called it. They're calling them pigmans. We actually had a pigman growing up. It was like some sort of mythos in the town that I grew up in. Pigman lived in the woods under the scary bridge. I don't think that was ever a real person, but I think it was probably some kids making shit up to keep you out of their clubhouse area. Pigman, as critics put it. And by 2013, Nakauchi decided to move to the U.S. where there were no federal laws restricting the creation of chimeras. Now, we just went like all those years, starting with Ronnie Reagan, I believe, where they had banned stem cell research. We had Ronald Reagan, of course. What was the irony that he died of Alzheimer's, got dementia really bad, and stem cell therapy probably could have helped him. We also had, I don't remember his name, Superman, Christopher Reeve, who had that horrible horse accident and ended up paralyzed from the neck down for the rest of his life. And stem cell therapy could have probably saved him as well. He and his wife had petitioned for it. But they had blocked all that research in the United States. So a lot of our genetic scientists all went to go work overseas where using embryonic stem cells, aborted fetal tissue, was still quote unquote legal. But how messed up 2013, Nakauchi came literally to the United States where they had never banned human-animal chimeras. Stanford was then able to recruit Nakauchi with the help of a $6 million grant from the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine, a state agency set up a decade ago to actually bypass the political interference from Washington. And while the National Institute of Health funding does not affect Nakauchi, it has put researchers under pressure to explain the purpose of their work. I want to show you some chimeras, Nakauchi said when I visited his laboratory at Stanford last month. He's rubbing his hands together evilly. Oh, he opens the door to a small room containing incubators. So not big amniotic fluid tanks. Thank goodness. Incubators where the chimeric embryos are stored. And because early embryos are almost invisible to the human eye, the room houses special microscopes equipped with micro needles used to inject the human cells into them. The type of human cells being added are called iPS cells, made from what? And I know I've read about these before. Yes, made from the skin or blood, chemically reprogrammed into more versatile stem cells using a Nobel Prize winning formula developed by one of Nakauchi's Japanese colleagues. And yeah, that's what I was talking about. Like in that 2011 article, they hadn't yet discovered how to make stem cells out of skin, and they can literally coax them into any type of cell. Nakauchi says that as a matter of convenience, most of the iPS cells his team has been placing into animal embryos are made from his own blood. Since recruiting volunteers involves too much paperwork, he says. We need a special consent form if we are injecting it into animals, he says sheepishly, no pun intended. So I try to use my own, he says. The word chimera, and this is what's so frightening, because this has been out there in mythology for eons. Well, not literally eons, but as long as we've had mythology for certain. Chimera comes from the Greek creature in Greek myth, part lion, part goat, part snake. Maybe it was a warning. Nakauchi says most people at first imagine as chimeras are monsters too. But he says attitudes change if he can explain his proposal. One reason is that if his iPS cells develop inside of an animal, the resulting tissue will actually be his. A kind of perfectly matched replacement part. And of course, desperately ill people waiting on a watch list. And like I said, this is who all of this is targeted toward, are the most desperate that are willing to step up and be part of the experiment. Desperately ill people on an organ waiting list might someday order a chimera and wait less than a year for their own custom organs to be ready. He says, I don't really see much of a risk to society with this. But before that can happen, scientists will have to prove that human cells can really multiply and contribute effectively to the bodies of farm animals. That could be a challenge since, unlike rats and mice, which are fairly close genetically, humans and pigs last shared an ancestor nearly 90 million years ago. I thought I saw a story, though, out of phys.org back a year or so ago showing how similar human and pig DNA were to each other. And it always made me wonder, like, pig meat is just, like, so pink, and it makes me think, like, human meat to begin with. I can't eat ham, especially because of that fact. Anyway, so to find out, researchers in 2014 decided to begin impregnating farm animals with human animal embryos, says Pablo Ross, a veterinarian and development biologist at the University of California, Davis. Hey, guess what? That's where we just read about all those new GMO cows were just shipped yesterday, where some of these animals are now being housed. And, you know, I don't think in that story it mentioned human-animal hybrids. It was just that they genetically modified these cows so their horns didn't grow so they could pack them in tighter into the shipping crates. Apparently, as of 2 years ago, they also started impregnating some of these animals with human-animal embryos. Ross says at Davis he has transferred about six sets of pig-human embryos into sows in collaboration with the Salk Institute and established another 8 or 10 pregnancies of sheep-human embryos with Nakauchi. Another 36 pig transfers have also taken place outside of the United States. Oh. These early efforts aren't yet to make organs, he said, but more to determine the ideal conditions for generating human-animal chimeras. And the studies at Davis only began after review by three different ethics committees. And even then, he says, the university decided to be cautious and limit the time that the animals would be allowed to develop to just 28 days. Now, remember, too, the new president, as of 2 years ago, of the entire University of California complex is good old Janet Napolitano. It says, by then, at 28 days, the embryonic pig is only a half inch long, and though that's developed enough to check if human cells are contributing to the rudimentary organs, it says, we do not want to grow them to stages we don't need to, since that actually is more controversial. My view is that the contribution of human cells is going to be minimal, maybe 3 or 5%. But if they contributed to 100% of the brain, well, what if that embryo that then develops is mostly human? It's something that we do not expect, but no one has done this experiment, so we cannot rule it out. Do, do, do. Oh, how frightening. So then we add to that the other story we started reading yesterday that we ended up killing in at one point because it just went on forever. And that was, you're only human. Your kids could be so much more. Let's mix them up in a petri dish. Sex is no longer necessary. You could just pick the traits from a pizza menu and grow your kids to specification. And this is using, of course, your CRISPR-Cas9 technology for all this stuff. Not really sure. We got about 3 minutes left. All right, this powerful new gene editing. So this is back to this. Your kids could be so much more than human. They're using CRISPR-Cas9. They mentioned 23andMe and how wonderful it is. Let's mix them all up. And we have all of our genetic data online. Actually, that reminds me, I think we're going to go over here really quick because this came out of one of these transhumanist groups that I subscribe to, and I keep a real low profile. I don't want any of those freaks to find me. But this story came out of phys.org. Someone in one of those transhumanist groups posted this yesterday, and I was pretty surprised. Take an online DNA test, and you could be revealing far more than you realize. And this is what we've been saying all along. And any idiot that's done this, well, good luck to you. Getting your DNA sequenced is now so cheap and easy that you don't even need to see a medical professional. A variety of online companies, yes, like 23andMe attached to Google, are now offering direct-to-consumer genetic testing for health or recreational purposes. These tests claim to detect a wide range of characteristics from the risks of heart disease, such as breast, risks of disease such as breast cancer or Alzheimer's, or other conditions such as baldness, to specific talents, or even a romantic compatibility. But when you purchase one of these tests, there is a good chance you do not know everything you've agreed to. And I've talked about that little check this box. If we can use your DNA that you've given us for scientific research, and apparently it seems a lot of people have checked that box. Says, as with many online companies, genetic testing firms rely on contracts to govern relations with their customers. Contracts are online everywhere, appearing as terms and conditions that you agree to with a click of a button or even just by browsing the website. And whether logging into Facebook or downloading a film, you've probably signed one of these contracts, perhaps without even realizing it or reading it. But do you have any idea what you've agreed to? Avoiding the internet completely is now practically impossible for most of us, yet the content of the contracts we enter into is a large extent of unknown. Having read and reviewed 71 of these contracts from companies that provide health tests in the course of my doctoral research, and that's this guy writing the article, I believe consumers need to be more aware of what they're getting into. And aside from the dubious reliability some of these companies are making in claims, online genetic testing raises serious privacy and information security issues. Also, when the DNA is sequenced and stored, it has a unique way of identifying you and potentially all of your known and unknown relatives. All right, guys. Well, if you can even believe it, time is up again. It is Thursday, so make sure you stick around. Mr. Kevin Blanche is live up next. Ron with Game On, live at 7 p.m. Eastern, 8 Behind the Woodshed with Hal, 10 Double Cross with Chuck, and 11 Anti-Media Radio with S.M. Gibson. Have an awesome Thursday, everyone, and I'll catch up with you tomorrow. Take care.